Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 7th day of July, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is current events, which will also include an open mic session. So if you have comments and or questions, please feel free to join us. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the day. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Please note I did not say Yiddish, the language spoken by the imposters over in Palestine today. Yiddish is their language. They call it Hebrew, but that's what Jews do, always hiding behind things. That came out in Haaretz, one of their major newspapers, several years ago, where the Knesset, which is the governmental body in Itzalai, decided that they would call Yiddish Hebrew so that they would keep the disguise of them being the people of the Bible going. So now the garbage language that they speak, Yiddish, which is primarily ancient German with a smattering of other languages in there, they call that Hebrew. It is not the Hebrew that is spoken by our ancestors. If you want to hear that, go to Wales. And if you can't make it to Wales, go to Ireland or Scotland. You'll be pretty close. But Wales is the closest to the ancient spoken language of Hebrew that you're going to come across. In fact, to my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, that means welcome to the program, and Cymru Ambith, which means Wales forever. In their language, Cymru is the name of their country, not Wales. And Cymru comes from Omri or Cromri, an ancient king of ancient Israel, and his people that ended up coming up through the Caspian Sea, Black Sea area, and migrated and ended up in the Misty Isles. So once again, the fingerprints, as Bertrand Comparé so eloquently put in his studies, the fingerprints of our ancient ancestors are all over this earth, if you care to look for it. That's the problem today. Most people are too busy, too apathetic to care. Remember, we had that quote last week where we talked about that tolerance and apathy are the last virtues of a dying society. I believe that was Socrates. Okay, tolerance and apathy, the last virtues of a dying society. We're there, folks. We're there. So again, current events we're going to talk about. Of course, the Epstein arrest is going to be one of the topics. No audio. Bubby1483 says no audio. So if anybody else is having audio problems, please either email me at BYD, which of course stands for By Yahweh Design, BYD Pastor Dan, all together, at yahoo.com. Send me a quick email, or if you're on your computers, you can go into the blog window and type in a message there. Lane in Texas says audio is fine here, and Boone says his audio is also fine. So, excelente. So apparently, Bubby, you've got a bad connection at your end. I would suggest you log off and then log back in, see if that doesn't help. Okay, now we did mention callers are welcome at any time since this is a basically current events slash open mic session. And we are in the question answer mode, which means on your phones you would hit a star 6. If you're on your computers, you'd click on the little, I believe it's a question mark or a Q&A. Type button that pings me to let me know that you want to talk, and then I can unmute you and you can either make your statement or ask your question. Our website is www.pastordan.net. and lots and lots of information there. It's growing. Ever since I started it, many pages have been added. Recently, we added the lock and load page for information about weapons and ammunition. We've had contributions made by our listeners. Very helpful information, by the way, on how to pick out what's best for home defense, what's best for militia, things like that. I also yesterday added a page of recommended reading. Now, that page contains, it's not all-inclusive. That page contains reading material that I have digital copies of, okay? A lot of my books are hard copy only. But I put up there a list of books that are obtainable in electronic format. And the reason I did that is some people are having difficulty either because of low funds or they're just not techie savvy, computer savvy, to be able to go on and search out the electronic versions or the hard copy versions of these books. And what these books tell us is way too important to not get that information out there. It needs to get out there as quickly as possible before we lose the ability to read altogether. Not too many people read at all anymore. They rely on their electronic toilets to inform them about everything, and that's very unfortunate because the enemy learned a long time ago that people are basically lazy. And once they got control of the electronic media, they would have the attention of the majority of the population. And that's how they got us to go away from the way America was set up as a constitutional Christian republic to this Bolshevik democracy touted by the Jews, mostly in our country, because of the conditioning through first radio and then television to control our people, because they are lazy. Back in the early 1900s, families would spend almost from dawn till dusk working just to feed themselves and to pay their bills. So they didn't have a lot of extra time. So along comes radio. They figure, well, we can turn the radio on and somebody else will do our digging for us. And then came television and got even worse, because now with visual graphics to go with the voice, our people were completely mesmerized at that point. And they knew that. They knew that that would happen. The Bible talks about beware of what enters your ears and what enters your eyes. What does the Bible say that for? Because we are susceptible, women especially, for what comes into the ears. Okay, women are audio. That's been proven and talked about in scientific studies for ages. Okay, women are very susceptible to the spoken word. Why do you think Nakash in the garden in the book of Genesis went after Eve with what? He spoke to her. You can be a god unto yourselves. Yahweh didn't really mean not to race mix. See how that works? And for the men, it's the visual. Guard the eyes, because we're very susceptible to what we see. We tend to think it's for real. That's why the porn industry is so successful among men, because we're very visual, all right? Not so much audio. You can have wonderful speeches and really not going to affect us much, but when you bring the half-dressed woman out on stage along with your speech, now you got our attention. You see how that works? It reminds me of in the Air Force, we used to have safety films back in the 70s, and we'd be sitting in an auditorium, and they'd be putting screenshots up on the theater screen about damaged aircraft and people's fingers being ripped off because they got down out of the airplane the wrong way. And then all of a sudden, there'd be a picture of a woman in a bikini about every 10th frame that they had up on the screen. And I started asking the sergeants when I got back to the shop, I said, what's that all about? And they said, well, they figured out that you guys are half asleep in the auditorium watching the boring videos and slide presentations on safety features. So we'll throw a half-naked woman up there, and that'll spark your interest and keep you awake for the next 9 slides. See how that works? So they've known about this attribute of our people for a very long time, and they take advantage of it, all right? Visual. The Bible warns us, be very careful what you allow into your eyes and into your ears. And again, technology, a lot of people are putting down technology, and again, I'm not saying I'm pro 5G or any of that stuff, but like the computers and the internet and all that, there's a safe way to use this technology. But the problem is, like any weapon, a rifle, a pistol, etc., the weapon itself is not evil, okay? Your screen, that image controlled by the beast, is in and of itself not evil. It's who's behind it and what they put in front of you. For instance, if you're using the computer to study the words of the Christ and the prophets, how is that evil? The computer, which I know because I grew up with computers, when I first started doing word studies and Bible studies, it had to be by hard copy only. And let me tell you, it took many hours and a notepad and a pencil writing stuff down, flipping through pages and pages of lexicons and different Bible verses and different versions of the Bible. That was a labor-intensive, long process. And today you can do it within seconds, especially if you go to places like eSword or Blue Letter Bible. It's done for you in seconds. Now, let me throw a caveat in there. You got to be careful because your enemy can go in there and change definitions and change things in any electronic version of anything. And that's why it's important to have the hard copy books at your disposal if you find contention. All right? Just like when you're studying scripture, if you see something that Paul wrote in his letters and it doesn't set well, there's a good chance it's been either mistranslated or the lying pen of the scribes got involved. And last but not least, if it's a letter of Paul, throw it the hell out. Paul, in his own writing, said, "My letters are not to be taken as law." He said it himself. And yet churches today build their entire orthodoxy on the letters of Paul, ignoring the prophets, ignoring even the Christ himself. I've been in those churches. I had half a congregation in New Jersey walk out on me because I even said what I said about Paul. "Oh, Paul is golden, Dan. How can you say anything against Paul? Paul was a man. If you remember, he was killing Christians. That's what he was doing." And even Paul himself said, "Don't take my words as new law." The law has already been given to you. Isaiah 33, verse 22 makes it very clear, we have but one lawgiver. William Blackstone, the famous jurist from England that was taught in our law schools until the Jews had total control, now he's not even mentioned. William Blackstone said, the law has already been decided, folks. When groups of people get together and create legislation, if it doesn't agree with God's law, it's not any law at all. But do you see how they've separated us from that philosophy? And again, as the Jews came to prominence, people like William Blackstone took a back seat to whatever the latest rabbi rantings are. Because we got rabbis in law schools too, you know. They don't call themselves rabbis, but in effect they're rabbis. They're pushing Judaism and Talmudism, which are antithetical to Christianity and the early American society, which was Christian. Followers of the Christ, the Anointed One, followers of the Way, Covenanters. We went by many different names, not just Christian. But today, and here's a new word for you, and we've said this for a couple weeks now, cacistocracy. And I noticed Max Egan used this word back in 2018, so maybe he was one of the first people to use it over in Australia. But cacistocracy is a legitimate word. It's been around since the 1800s, and it's based on Greek, and it's defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. The Free Dictionary Online has government by the least qualified or most unprincipled citizens. Bing, ding, 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 ding. That's the United States of America. God bless America. Kakistocracy. Right. Hail the flag. God bless America, even though we live under a kakistocracy, which has nothing to do with the America founded by the Pilgrims and later the Founding Fathers with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, which brought together what? Sovereign states. The early founders and early people in this country understood that we were never, ever to be under a very strong federal government, a very powerful centralized government. Never. We believed in the Bible and the law of the Bible and the Mosaic principle, which is what? Governing at the local level, which is what the libertarians and the proprietarians are talking about. Let's get back to the beginning that worked. Very little central government. Most of your decisions on governance are at the county or even the precinct level. That's where your governance comes from, not from some idiot in the state capitol and a bigger idiot at the federal level. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It never has worked. Okay? But who is behind centralization? Who is behind big, powerful central government and big, powerful corporations? I remember as a boy, there weren't very many corporations. Most everything was family farms and family businesses run by little mom-and-pop shops, mostly white, mostly Christian. Who came in with the big idea that, oh, it'd be better if we just all amalgamate and become a gigantic corporation? It's much more efficient. Well, what they were really saying, since that was the Nakash going like a snake, Nakash. That's why he was called Nakash, a deceiving man, just like a snake rattling in the weeds. I grew up on a farm. That's exactly what it sounds like when you come close to a rattlesnake. Shh. Those rattles are going back and forth. Shh. You're getting ready to bite you. All right? When you hear things like that, that's the Jew. Shh. Getting ready to twist and turn and destroy common sense. So it wasn't because it's more efficient. It's because it's easier for the Jew to control you. Because now all they have to do is make sure they get their people in at the CEO level and the chief financial officer level, and bingo, they've got control. I came down here to work for Florida Power, and who do you think was in charge of the money for the big project I got hired for? Mr. Katz! Mr. Katz controlled the purse strings for the project. If he controls the purse strings, he controls the project. Because the idiot Anglos are only going to do whatever puts money in their pockets. So you put the Jew in charge of the money. If they put the money behind this, they'll do it. Is it the smart thing to do? No. Was it the most advantageous and the most practical? No. But the Jew put the money behind it, so we do it. Look at our society. Look at our society. They put the money. They took it out of your hands up until 1940s. It was in your hands. They took it out of your hands with the, quote, victory tax. Do you see how they always use emotionalism? The victory tax. And ever since 1940s, and the promise was that the victory tax would go away once the war ended. Did it go away? No, it became bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because they figured a way to get your money without your morality attached. When you had to send a government a check once a year at the end of the year, if you didn't like what they were doing, you could make them work for that. They didn't like that. So World War II, victory tax allowed them to take money out of your weekly paycheck. Did that ever end? No. Why? Because they got spoiled by it. Because now we don't give a damn if you like what we're doing in Washington or not, because we got what we wanted. Your money. Your money. You vote with your money. You don't vote at the ballot box. You vote with your money. Do you think they give a damn about your electing somebody? They control both sides of the coin, folks. They don't give a damn who you elect, and that includes Donald Trump. Versus the Wicked Witch of the West, Hillary. It didn't matter. People say, well, this stuff wouldn't be happening if it weren't for the Donald. Really? What, that we're almost at war with Russia and China? That's still going on. That our economy's still going in the toilet because the Jews run everything through the Federal Reserve? That hasn't changed. Pedophiles like Epstein and Podesta and Clinton's are walking free? That hasn't changed. 9/11 hasn't been told the truth about it. All these were promises made to us. Immigration brought under control, and a moratorium of at least 5 years, maybe 10 years, was zero immigration until we get this damn mess straightened out. Has any of that happened? They don't give a damn who you elect. Your power is in the purse, and because of the income tax, they took that power away from you. That was the last power you had. The other power you had is in the jury box, but most of you are too damn busy and lazy to ever go down and do jury duty, so now you don't even have that vote. There was a lot of power in the jury box, but now they've rigged it to where anybody can sit on a jury. So do they give a damn what the white man thinks? Absolutely not, because they can throw women and minorities in the jury and get the decision they want. So they took that one away from you, too. So the last thing you got is your dollars. How you spend your time and money, that's how you vote. They don't want you to realize that. They want you to think electing some dirtbag politician is going to make a difference. Well, let me know how that works out for you, because in my lifetime of over 65 years, I haven't seen it change one damn thing. Psalm 18, verse 30, as for Yahweh God, his way is perfect. Yahweh's word is tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in him. Not only refuge in him, but refuge in his law, folks. His law is what protects you. Yahweh doesn't have to come down from the heavens and literally pick you up and save you. He gave you instructions. It's called Holy Scriptures and the extra biblical writings of the prophets and the men of Yahweh. Okay, as it in the Aramaic, when it says sons of God, it means the ancestors of the white race who lead their lives in a godly fashion, who represent Yahweh because of the way they behave. Okay, that's the sons of God. Adam, the first, and Christ, the second Adam. We are first fruits because we obey the Father. We put his word into action. That becomes what? Okay, when you put it into action, you now will get the blessings of obedience, but you're also showing the world around you. That's why he said, you are my ambassadors. When the New Jerusalem comes down, what's the 12 gates around the New Jerusalem? One gate for what? Each of the 12 tribes. Who are the 12 tribes? The white race. Elements of the white race. Not all white people are part of the tribes, by the way. Abraham had other children. Okay? Jacob. Isaac and Jacob were a portion of the white race. A lot of people wonder, sometimes they go, well, I've been talking to my neighbor, and he's an Anglo-Saxon, you know, and he just doesn't seem to get it. Well, he might not be an Israelite. He may not have the DNA antenna that's able to receive. Did you ever think of that? That's why this evangelism stuff that the church teaches today is completely bullshit. All right? Total BS. Why? Because there are those here who are not meant to be saved. Those are the words of the Christ, people. When the disciple said, why do you speak in parables, master? Because there are those here, if they understood what I was talking about, might repent and be saved. Saved in what way? Saved from harm. Do I want my enemies saved from harm? No, I want them to die. Why the hell would I want my enemies to live? Stop and think about it, people. You got plenty of white people out here following after the Jew. Whatever the Jew comes up with, they just fall all over themselves. The Jew puts out a movie that promotes race mixing, and they're running out there and jumping in bed with everything but a white man. Do you think they're Israelites? Do you think those white women and white men are Israelites? What did he say? Judge them what? By their fruits. The person that goes out there and does what they do because the Jew puts it up on a daytime soap opera or makes a movie about it is weak-willed and weak-minded. Yahweh has a way of sorting out the wheat from the chaff. It's called death. It's called misery. He said what? I'm here to save you. Soter in the Greek language, which means save you from physical harm here and now. It has nothing to do with this feel-good evangelist, Pentecostal, oh, I've been slain in the spirit. And yet you walk right out the door and go down and have a great big old ham on Sunday's dinner. Where you go down and get a big bowl full of shrimp and eat them up at the restaurant. Did you pay attention to what he said when he broke the food laws and told the Israelites what to eat and what not to eat? What's good for their body, what's not good for their body? Did you pay attention? No. But you're saved. Saved from what? You're still going to rot out your intestinal system. You're still going to have to go down and have a colostomy bag put in. You're still going to have your joints ripped out and put in artificial joints. Because you're eating the shit that he didn't want you to eat, but you're saved. I love these evangelists and all these so-called Christians out here. Well, we got to save souls. Save souls. What the hell does that even mean? You're going to save souls. Well, suke and the other words in the Greek language, well, it could be talking about your spirit. I don't know how you save that. My spirit's my spirit. It isn't going to go anywhere. You know what, you could save the body. Well, that's true if you were to obey, but most people don't choose to obey. So, here again, trust and obey, for there is no other way, the old hymn says. But our people are, you know, they're so smart. They're so smart, they don't need somebody like Yahweh telling them what to do. I got an email from a fellow here just the other day saying, I'm tired of people telling me what I can and can't do and what I can and can't eat. And I wrote back, I said, I hope you're not talking about me because I don't give a damn what you eat. I've said that for 20 years on the radio. I'm not here to make friends, and I'm not here to try to tell you what to do. Personally, I don't give a damn what you do. My promise was to the Father to tell you the truth as I know it, as I have discovered it, as it has been shown to me. That's the only promise I made. I didn't make a promise to you folks out there. Because I know most of you don't give a damn. You're not going to listen anyway. And so why would I care what you do? I present you with the truth as I know it. Not only from the scriptures, but I've attended professional classes on naturopathy and homeopathic remedies. I've been to the classes. My naturopathic doctor is one of the best in this country, which has taught me a lot, watching how she has helped me and many members of my family. As my dad used to say, you can't argue with the truth. You can't argue with success. Okay? Watching her successfully analyze and help people convinced me that the naturopathic world is the way to go. Not only that, but the scriptures support it as well. He said, your food is your medicine, and the herbs are put here for what? Your medicine as well. Your food and your medicine. Do I need pharmaceuticals? Especially when I know they're all run by Jews? And the Greek word pharmakia means poisons and drugs used in black magic and sorcery? Why the hell would I go to a pharmacy? 66 years old, and I still am not on any medications whatsoever. I refuse medications. I don't get vaccines. Why would you put that poison in your body? But you see, many people will. That's why I say, I'm not going to lay awake at night worrying whether you listen to what I tell you or not, because I really don't care. If I did, I would go nuts. I'd probably want to leave this world tomorrow, because if I cared, it would hurt too much. Just as my own family, and recently, within the last 2 months, another member of my family taken from me way too soon. Did they listen? A little bit, but not much. All right. Do I love them? Yeah, I love them. In their case, did I care? I cared to a point, but not enough that I'm going to lose sleep over it, because if you won't do what he tells you to do, how are you going to get blessed by it? Now, I want to know, somebody come on, this is an open mic session, come on here and explain to me how you benefit when you don't do what he says that you should do. Please do that for me, because I must not be seeing something correctly. So you call in and tell me where I'm wrong, please, because it just doesn't make sense to me. He puts it in writing. He verifies it with nature. He verifies it with the proofs of people who do obey and their wonderful health, and yet people still want to go the way of the Jew. I don't understand it. How does that brain work? That's a mystery to me. And it's also proof that not all white people are Israelites. Not all white people are meant to be saved. I'm sorry, but they're not. There's people out there telling us that, if your DNA is Caucasian and you're part of the Chosenites and you're going to be fine. Really? That's funny, because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were only a subset of the white race. They weren't the entire white race. That's why you have people, again, who look white, but they're out there jumping in bed with monkeys. Do you think they're part of us? They don't even have the right sense within their own body. You should have the Holy Spirit screaming to you that it's wrong. As my dear friend Larry from Tennessee used to tell me all the time, I don't need a Bible to tell me that a black man and a white woman's just wrong. Every molecule in my body screams when I see that. Right. Because you're part of the people of the Bible. You're an Israelite. Your own molecules, whether you ever picked up a Bible or not, your own molecules should tell you it's wrong. Going down and having a baby ripped apart in the mother's womb, your own body should tell you. Your own spirit should tell you that's wrong. Period. Mutilating a baby boy, your own spirit should tell you that's wrong. And now we have all kinds of scientific proof that what we call circumcision today is not of our people. Never has been, never will be. Mutilating the perfect body that Yahweh created is not a sign of attachment to the Father. That would be like you going over here to this beautiful Greek statue that looks like it could jump off the pedestal, it looks so lifelike, and taking a sledgehammer and beating it because you think you could do a better job. You've given this beautiful baby boy intact, and you're going to go and within a couple days bring physical trauma and mutilation and think that that makes you closer to the living God? Again, please call in and tell me how that works, because I don't get it. I don't get it. One of the famous kikes that walked this earth and helped to destroy it is Karl Marx. That's not his real name, like typical Jews that are out to turn this world into a Bolshevik hell. He's a name changer, but Karl Marx, son of a rabbi, in his 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be, notice he says, shall be, in state institutions at state expense. Why do you think the Bolshevik kike Jew Karl Marx said that? Because the Jews knew that they were going to infiltrate the white nations using law schools and the court system. They're going to infiltrate the legislatures and the court system. Just like QAnon. QAnon was the big rage, right? And who was one of the people QAnon was telling us was a good guy? Dirtbag Alan Dershowitz, okay? I remember the first time I saw that on the Q site. I went, what? What in the hell are you talking about? Dirtbag Alan Dershowitz of Harvard University, a despicable Talmudic Jew, is a patriot? And now guess what? Dirtbag Dershowitz is right up there with Jeffrey Epstein, another dirtbag Bolshevik Jew, being charged with sex crimes. Imagine that. But Q told us he was a good guy. Q also told us to trust Sessions, the bumbling idiot from Alabama. Q told us a lot of things that didn't turn out to be true. It was nice to hope there for a long time because there were some proper things said by Q. But in the end, it's the same thing that we've been told for many years. The devil, the Satan, the adversary, will allow you to tell an ocean of truth as long as you let him float that little lie at the top. Q got in there and told us an ocean of truth and told us the lie that the Donald's our savior, our white knight is Donald. Really? Here we are, we're approaching 3 years into the administration. Where's the white knight at? Okay, the economists that I'm reading, our economy as a whole, is still tanking. All right? The Baltic Dry Index says that shipping is still at record lows. Where's this great economy? This still says there's a great big dichotomy between the poorest in America and the richest. The middle class is disappearing. Well, Herr Donald, where's the salvation of our people? Where's the bringing back of this Christian constitutional republic? Some of your people that you put in office are still referring to us as a democracy. Last time I checked, that's not a good thing. That's what Bolshevism wants. You see, it's cognitive dissonance. You're sitting here putting your faith in a quote, human savior, even though the scripture says don't trust any politician, don't trust any arm of flesh, but you're putting your faith in Herr Donald. Herr Donald. All right? You're worshiping a false idol. Again. You're always doing that. Again and again and again. And you wonder why nothing changes. When's the last time somebody got on the boob tube, the toilet, the electronic toilet controlled by the beast, the image of the beast, and told you anything about our Heavenly Father? That any of the salvation you're looking for will come through Yahweh. When has that ever happened? I may have missed it, so again, call in and tell me. When has that happened? I want to know. Last time I checked, it's always Donald and his administration full of swamp creatures. They're going to save the day. Not one mention of our Heavenly Father and his plan. Not one mention of our Father's laws and the fact that we're violating them left and right. But somehow this administration is going to pull our bacon out of the fire. Really? Ecclesiastes 1 verse 18, "For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." What does that mean? What does it mean? It means as you increase your knowledge about what's really going on in this world, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be upset. That's why it says that you will increase grief and sorrow. Okay? I hear from people all the time, very frustrated about the state of the world. Because why? Because you've taken the time to be educated. But is it not better to be educated than not educated? Okay, yeah, there's grief and sorrow, but would you rather be ignorant? You know, there's an old saying, ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. What does that mean? Because if you're ignorant, then you don't know the terrible things that are going on, such as the sex slave trade. And the Epstein Lolita Island and all of the poor girls that are abused, and boys that are abused by these perverts that walk amongst us. Now, if you had a leader of Yahweh's picking, these perverts would be dead, which is exactly what Scripture and our Heavenly Father says you do to perverts. you execute them. You don't go through a lengthy prison term and then turn them loose back on society. Are you crazy? Why would you do such a thing? That's stupid beyond belief. They're defective. If they weren't defective, they wouldn't have done to the children what they did to begin with. That's why Yahweh says you execute them. If they're a pedophile now, they will always be a pedophile. You can't believe Jewish propaganda on some soap opera or some news report that they're fixable. My ass, they're fixable. Pedophiles, child abusers, are to be executed. Rapists are to be executed. Male and female, executed. Treason requires execution. Blasphemers, execution. Murderers, execution. You want to see the world all of a sudden become a much brighter, happier place to be? How about implementing God's law? Isn't that a novel concept? How about that? Wow. Actually implement his law, not just hope that a bunch of people in government will solve our problems. I got news for you, people. Government created the problems you're living with, including this shitty economy. Okay? Again, you walked away from Yahweh and his law, the common sense laws of the Bible, the common sense laws that our founding fathers believed in and embodied in the Declaration of Independence and in the Constitution, such as gold and silver coin for the payment of debt. That's it. Gold and silver coin, not paper money, and most certainly not digital money. Excuse me. Okay? That was never allowed. But the Jews come in with their money and control the media, and they start propagandizing you, and you turn off your brains, you turn off your attachment to Yahweh, you turn off your attachment to Scripture, and you stopped making men of good character your leaders. And by good character, it means not only do they have the attributes of our Heavenly Father, they are Bible believers, believers in the written Scriptures, all of them, not just the ones the Catholic Church gave us. Okay? Those things you call Bibles are a creation of the whore of Babylon. All right? There are a lot of Scriptures. There's a lot of writings by our ancestors that they did not allow in there. Ooh, gee, I wonder why they didn't want the Apocrypha in there. I wonder why they didn't want the Book of Enoch in there or Jasher. Gee, I wonder why. Why did they put Paul in there, for crying out loud? Really, think about it. Why the hell was Paul's writings in Scripture? Even the apostles didn't care for Paul. Last time I checked, Yahweh walked with the apostles, his disciples. He didn't walk with Paul. Paul says he did, but what if Paul's a liar? Just saying. Besides that, you can take Paul's writings out of Scripture and it doesn't change anything. Really? Think about it. What would change if you were to take your Bible and rip out all the pages of Paul's letters? What would it change about who we are, what our purpose here is, how to live a good life, etc., etc., etc.? So that's why I tell people, they go, well, Dan, I got a problem here. Paul says this, and, you know, Luke didn't agree, or John didn't agree, or Malachi, it goes, well, you just answered your own question. If it's a writing of Paul, you throw it out. If it's causing you consternation, throw it out. You don't need Paul. And it's quite interesting that the Roman Catholic Church and the Daughters of the Great Whore, the mainstream denominations, rely very heavily on the writings of Paul. And they twist it, of course, because really, if Paul's correctly translated, I'd say probably 95% of the time, Paul's right in line with the other disciples, the Gospels, and the prophets. But they twist and turn it to fit their agenda, which is a completely different religion today. And again, remember what religion stands for. Religion is very similar to government. to control the people through their mental processes. Government, mental. Religious, reg. Go back to the Latin, reg. What is reg? That's a king. Regulation. Mixing a king and the law, religion. It's just another way to control you. Organized religion is a method of control of the people. Did Christ, the king, did he give any credence to organized religion? No, he hated it. He detested it. He had nothing good to say about organized religion. And me people today are waking up to that. Praise Yahweh. They're walking away from the mainstream churches, especially the whore herself, the Roman Catholic Church. It's in complete disarray, and there's rebellion within it. Why? Because the Pope is a damn Jew, Satan worshiper, and he's saying incredibly stupid things. And finally, he's being so stupid and so corrupt that even the people in the Catholic Church are starting to wake up. I guess there's hope for anything if the Catholics can wake up. But I should be careful with that, because over the years, the people in identity, the vast majority of the strongest identity believers are ex-Catholics. Because the identity message resonated so strong with them compared to what they were either taught or mistaught in the Catholic Church, they became extremely strong believers and adherents to identity. So I shouldn't disparage all Catholics. Richard Buckminster Fuller, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. Are you paying attention? We got so many people out there that want to go to a full-scale revolution right now, and you're not even getting it. Mr. Fuller here is quite right. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. In other words, what do? You build an ark. You build a way to come out of Babylon. What did the Father say? Come out of Babylon, my people, and suffer not her plagues. All right? This current system is Babylon from top to bottom. Build a better model. What would be a better model? How about communities that operate under God's law completely? And people say, well, then you'll become a target, Diane. All right, I'm going to ask the people that said that, where have you seen a community of real, honest believers? Not these fake Christians. Not these yuppie types and hippie types. I'm talking about an actual community of identity believers, real identity believers, not the, what do you call them? The Jew with the, Jerry Springer. Not the Jerry Springer identity. Not the Jerry Springer Klansmen, because they're all fake. I'm talking about the real, genuine deal. Where have you found a community of genuine Israelites that was attacked by the beast? I want to know where. Everyone I've ever seen, it was fake and phony. David Koresh wasn't one of us. Randy Weaver was somewhat of an agnostic. It was Vicky that was the strongest one, and they put a bullet in her head. Now, there's a case where a true identity person was murdered. That's one lady out of millions of people. All right? And they did that for a reason. That was to put down us, to make us think that they would do it to all of us. But Randy Weaver turned around and very much picked up the gauntlet and, as far as I know, he is identity today. But other than the Weaver family, where have they done that? And even if they did do it to others, why would that stop Israelites from doing what Father wants us to do, which is come out of Babylon? Why would you have no faith in the Father? Why would you have no faith that the Father can protect his own? Does he protect us as individuals right now? I don't know about you folks, but I believe he does. Most of the true believers I know are protected. No, we don't live in palaces. No, we don't have Jewish shekels falling out of our pockets. But we also don't have a lot of the plagues of this world. I just told you, I have no pharmaceutical in my body whatsoever. Not one. And yet I feel pretty damn good, especially for my age. Okay? I suffer not the plagues of this world. Why? Because I trust the Father. I trust what He says. When He says that the herbs are my medicine and food, that's exactly what I do, day in and day out, without fail. And that doesn't mean every now and then you're out with family or whatever and you can't get a hold of an organic meal. Please. All right? If it required 100% compliance, not one single Israelite would make it. Not one. I'm saying as a general rule, every day, as close as you can, you follow the rules, and guess what? You don't have the plagues. All my body parts still work. I don't need a little blue pill to make things work the way it's supposed to work. The brain still functions, still can read, still can think, still can question, still enjoy going out and working in the hot sun. You just have to do it in moderation, that's all, especially as you get older. But the point of it is you can still do it. You can still do what a father put us here to do, which is to what? Lead by example and make this world change, because we refuse to go the way of the world. We're going to adhere to His ways. I'm not going to go down to the store and buy your poison. I'm not going to put the Jewish pharmaceuticals and the Jewish cosmetic crap on my body. Don't do it. I don't do it. I don't buy their bullshit. I don't buy it. I don't use it. I don't put it on my body. I'll trust the Father. If it comes out of the woods, it's an herb, I'll probably eat it or make a tincture or make a poultice out of it. Does it work? It's working for me. That's why I tell you. My job was to tell you what I found out. It's working for me. Do most people care? No. To be honest with you, they don't. Even my closest family and friends, they don't care. I live this day in and day out. How many of them have come to me and go, "Well, Dan, it seems to be really working for you. Would you mind telling me what you're doing?" Not one. Not one at any time. So what's that tell you? So why would I or any other true believer sit around worrying that there's going to be white people that won't make it? I know there's white people that won't make it. And there's a lot of non-white people that won't make it. Why? Because you don't listen to the Father. You don't listen to reason. You don't put His words into action. You just read them. You acknowledge Him. Well, guess what? The adversary acknowledges the Father. Yeah. Satan himself and his kids, the Jew, they know the Father's real. They know the Scripture's real. They're counting on the fact that you're too stubborn to do anything about it, that you're too ignorant to do anything about it. They count on that. They're filthy rich because of your ignorance and your apathy. You go out and put their drugs into your body. You get your tattoos. You get your piercings. It's unbelievable the things our people do. And then they wonder why, I wonder why I got to go down and have my operation, or I have to have this organ removed. I got to have my gallbladder taken out, or I just heard one of my listeners telling me about one of the family. They've got a kidney stone and cancer in that same kidney at the same time. I bet that's painful as hell. Kidney stones are painful enough by themselves. Can't imagine what it's like with cancer in that same kidney. Is that person doing anything in the natural world to try to make that get better? No. Will they do anything? No. Will they suffer and probably die? Yes. Yeah, probably will. And that's the sad part. That does make me sad when I think of all the pain and suffering when solutions are right in front of your face. They're in front of all of our faces. We just choose not to do it. So we get a news report that Epstein has been arrested again. Everybody's jumping up and down. See, this proves that Q is right. This proves that Trump is what? That doesn't prove a damn thing, because Epstein's already been charged and tried, and he was given a slap on the wrist and light duty in a Taj Mahal for a prison. And he didn't even spend much time there anyway. He went down to his own private quarters most of the time. All right, so no punishment whatsoever. Just the fact that he was arrested doesn't mean a damn thing. Because him and Dershowitz and Podesta and the Clintons and the rest of those pedophile bastards, until they're swinging from the end of a rope, don't tell me that Trump's for real and don't tell me Q's for real. Until they're hanging from the end of a rope and I get to verify the DNA of the people on the end of that rope, only then am I going to believe that there's anything happening by these people. Yahweh is my king. Yahweh will bring about the true justice that we need because he's not going to be bought off. He's not going to give a damn how much money you got, who your friends are. He doesn't care. Epstein's a billionaire and he's a powerful Jew with a powerful Jewish allies in the media and in government. Do you think Yahweh cares? If I was the monarch of this great nation, do you think it would stop me from pulling the lever and hanging his sorry ass? No, Epstein would be dead, exactly as Yahweh says. And every one of the people that was his accomplices would be dead. And if Dershowitz has done the same thing, he would be dead. The Bethesdas would be dead. The Clintons would be dead. Any of the remaining Bushes that we find would be dead. If they've done the crime, they would be dead. All this fanfare, all this bullshit on television, all of this distraction would be forgotten quickly. And guess what? Guess what happens when you put Yahweh's law into effect? It's called a cleansing of your land. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 14. Read it over and over and over. You want your land to be healed, but you don't want to do the dirty deeds. That's a form of mental illness. You know that? Wanting the benefit, but you don't want to have to do what you have to do. For instance, you want a healthy body, but you don't want to obey the food laws. You don't want to work out and get some exercise and get sunshine. Exactly. You see what I'm saying? You want to be able to buy a pill, or you want to be able to buy some stepper that some Jew is advertising on TV because you think you can circumvent what you have to do to actually get the benefit. That's the problem with the white race. Okay? We can have the benefits. Everything Yahweh promised us, we could have literal heaven on earth. But we don't want to do the dirty deeds, which is to apprehend the criminals and put them to death. I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it alone. I'm not going to do it alone. I'm not going to go out and try to find him and do it alone. Yahweh wrote the book for a race of people. The Bible wasn't written for individuals. The scriptures and Christ coming on this earth as Yeshua, that wasn't done for individuals. It was done for a race of people called Israelites. And wherever they go, peace and prosperity follow because we implement his law. And the corollary is also true. When we turn from our Father and we don't implement his law, then it turns into hell on earth. You're living in it. People say, well, this is a pretty nasty problem. You know, it's very complicated about finance and stock market and international agreement. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's what the Jew wants you to think. It's not complicated at all, Israelites. All you have to do is decide who your king is and follow the goddamn law. How much simpler can it be? I'm reading a book right now called American Jubilee by Porter Stanbury. He's considered to be somewhat of a knowledgeable person in economics. I had the book for some time, and I left it sit underneath my stack of books because I'm in the middle of reading about 10 or 12 books right at the moment. But American Jubilee by Porter Stansberry, very interesting because he's predicting the fact that, and you can see it happening, that this economic system this Babylonian fake fiat currency system is going to explode at some point. Has to. You can't pay the debt back. You can't do it. All right? And so he says you're going to have a jubilee. Right out of scriptures, there's a jubilee. And the only problem with Stansberry is he says it's a Jewish thing, and it's not a Jewish thing. The Jews would never have a jubilee. Come on, let's face it. The Jews are going to forgive debt. What Jew has ever forgiven a debt that you know of? All right? It's an Israelite tradition, jubilee. That's where our bankruptcy laws came, where you can file bankruptcy every 7 years. It comes from the same idea, a seven-year jubilee. A Sabbath year of rest and restitution. Okay? That's ancient Israel. That's us. So we're going to have a jubilee at some point, and somebody's going to have to pay. No matter what method is used to reset this whole thing, somebody's going to have to pay. Whether it's creditors, lending institution, banks, or the middle class, who seems to be the one they pick on making suffer the most of the time. Rumor has it that Deutsche Bank could be in serious trouble even as early as tomorrow. That the announcement of the failure of Deutsche Bank. And Deutsche Bank, of course, being in Germany, Deutsche Bank is tied in with most of the major lending institutions across the earth. So, again, don't know if it's true, but that's what rumor has it. And again, the Trump tards are worshiping Trump as if he's going to save the day and that there's this group of white hats, blah, 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 blah. Okay, again, I don't hear anybody mentioning our Heavenly Father. I don't have anybody mentioning the biblical laws. I don't hear anybody mentioning sound money systems based on the Constitution and the Bible. I don't hear that. All I hear is Trump, 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 white hat, white hat, white hat, as if these people who caused the problem are somehow going to save the day. Well, again, I'm looking forward to you coming on the air and tell me how that worked out for you. I don't put any faith in the arm of flesh. I don't put any faith in Trump, his regime of swamp creatures and Jews that surround him. I don't put any faith in Q or this mystical white hats that are out there doing a good thing. Do we need white hats? Absolutely. Do I pray that we had good military white hats that are behind the scenes trying to fix things? I would pray for that. Only if they're biblical. Only if they're men of faith. If they're white hats made up of the same kind of white hats and military that got us into this mess and didn't do a damn thing when the Pentagon was taken over by Jews and the intelligence agencies were taken over by Jews, starting with Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles, in the early 1900s, why would they do anything for us now? They didn't do anything for us then. Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps General, tried to warn us when he wrote the book War is a Racket. Douglas MacArthur, General, tried to warn us. General George S. Patton tried to warn us and was going to come back to the United States at the end of World War II. Only the Jews in France made sure General Patton never left the hospital. They feigned an automobile accident, sent him to the hospital to be checked out, and poisoned him in the hospital. Unfortunately, General Patton may not have been savvy as to the tentacles of the beast and how far they went, to where even in a hospital you weren't safe. Okay? They murdered General Patton. James Forrestal was murdered by these same creatures. You know, I was in a discussion with somebody here recently, and we got talking about the Jewish question. Folks, let's try to keep it simple. Obadiah and Ezekiel both told us that as long as these creatures walk amongst us, you will have no peace. You will have no sound banking. You will have no morality in your land. Okay? That's it. If you think Trump or any body of men or any legislature or even military is going to save the day and you haven't addressed the Jewish question, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. You have cognitive dissonance. because as Adolf Hitler and so many others in years gone by, when you dig down those rabbit holes to find out who's behind all of the machinations in your land, you will always find a Jewish face and a Jewish name. Always. Now, let's pretend for a minute that white people could actually still think. If you're looking down rabbit holes and 100% of the time you're finding a Jew behind it, whether it's him personally or his money, and you don't see fixing the Jewish problem as part of your solution, how smart can you be? How intelligent can you be? How rational can you be? The answer is you're not. Okay, and people say, well, Dan, that means you hate the Jewish race. I don't necessarily hate them. I just don't want them here. I don't want them part of my country. I don't want them part of my families. They are the antithesis of my Christ. They are the antithesis of the Anglo-Saxon culture. They are the antithesis of all morality that I have ever been taught my entire life. They are the corruptors. And folks, these are their words, okay? If you bother to email me, I would be glad to send you a list of books written by Jews who will tell you that they are the parasites and corruptors. Okay? Jews themselves admit this. Okay? Who are the people that are stopping us to come to these very sane and logical conclusions? It's called preachers. Not Jews, because they know that you don't trust them. Okay? That's innate in us not to trust a Jew. Okay? Even when I was a boy, the elders of my family said, never trust a Jew. Well, they knew better. So what do the Jews do? Well, they know that you have an innate ability to understand that they are deceivers. Okay? That's built into our DNA. So they use propaganda to make you feel guilty for that. That's one leg of their attack. The other leg of their attack is to go into the seminaries and corrupt the preachers. The John Hagees, the Kenneth Copelands, Joel Osteen, who's a kike himself, all right? They parade themselves as men of God when in fact they're just dupes and useful idiots for the Jew. But they're paid well. So if your goal in life is to have as many silver shekels in your pocket when you die, and that's your measure of success, well then the Kenneth Copelands are extremely successful. Now, the fact that they're deceiving the sheep and leading them to the slaughter, well, that doesn't matter, because their goal is to have as many shekels as they can get. The John Hagees, the same thing. All the rest of them, all of them. If they're not identifying the Jew as to being at the bottom of all of our misfortune and problems and admitting that Christ was not a Jew, then they're part of the problem. They are leading the sheep to the slaughter, exactly as the scripture says. They're trying to persuade the sheep that these Jews are somehow a benefit to mankind. Really? Again, I offer free airtime to anybody who wants to come on here and tell me how. Please, I've spent a lot of years trying to figure out how that works. Where do you come up with this notion that the Jews are a benefit to mankind? Where? How do you do that? How do you twist reality to get them to come out on top? You have to really twist. You have to really be ignorant of any sort of reality to put these people in a good light. How do you do that? I want to know. So when I leave this earth, I'm going to leave this earth the way I came into it, pretty much penniless. And that's okay. I don't care. My goal was never to amass a great deal of materialistic things anyway. Because there's no joy in them, first of all. They're a pain in the ass. You got to lug them around. You got to keep them clean. You got to keep them oiled. You got to keep them fixed. And they become a leverage against you. just like love of your life. If you love your life and you fear death, okay, you just gave a lever. You gave a great big old lever to the Jew on manipulating you because you fear death. You want to live, so you'll believe any of his bullshit propaganda because you think it's going to help keep you alive. Do I want to die? No, not particularly, because I think there's things to do yet. And I'd kind of like to be around to see my grandchildren and great-grandchildren become adults and successful, etc. Yeah, I'd like to see that. I'd like to accomplish more things, but would it bother me to go? No, not really. I'm good either way he wants to do it. He wants to bring me home, that's okay. And if he wants me to stay here and keep working, that's okay too. I'm good with that. Because I believe that's the attitude we're supposed to have. I'm good with whatever my commander wants me to do. I'm here for the fight. If I can do a better job up there, then take me home. If I can do a job down here, then keep me here. I don't really care. And neither should you. Don't give the enemy leverage. Well, they might take, I've had people say that. Well, Dan, if I was to talk about the things you talk about, I'll lose my house. I'll lose my car. Okay, well, you've now set a price on your life. You've set a price. What you're capable of being bought and paid for with. Okay, it may not be fear of death, but your fear of losing your materialistic goods. Okay, you now worship them and not the living God. And you just gave a great big old lever to the hook-nosed kike who's going to use it against you. The power that the Jew has is in your ignorance, your apathy, and your love of life and material things. Those are the things he holds against you. Yahweh told us in the book of Job and many other places in the Bible, Satan doesn't have the ability to harm you, folks. He really doesn't. He doesn't have permission. I'm talking about the real sons and daughters of the Father, not the people that look a little bit like us, but their DNA and their souls are dark, 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 dark. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you, the children of light. Satan has no permission to directly harm you, but he does have permission to deceive you. He has permission to put the word pharmacy above that building selling you his poisons. Because you can just picture Satan and Satan's kids, the Jews, before the master saying, hey, it's not our fault they don't understand what pharmacy means. It's not our fault that they don't understand that the medical mafia isn't going to fix anything. They're just going to do symptom management. They're not going to cure anything. They're not going to make your life better. They're just going to manage your symptoms. See how that works? Why else would the government allow the pharmacy and the pharmaceutical companies, why would they create a law that you can't sue them when they harm you? Tell me that isn't Jewish. They actually did that. They made laws that says that when you take their drugs or the doctor is committing malpractice or he gave you a drug that did harm, you can't sue them for that. Just like you can't sue the vaccine companies. That should send off bells and whistles as soon as you read that. Just like the traitorous governor of Florida signing a law that in the educational institutions you can't question the Holocaust. You can't question Judaism. You can't question the Jews and their behavior. What does that tell you about DeSantis? Okay? He's a dual citizen. He's a traitor. He puts another country and their people above us. That is paramount and tantamount to treason. But like I said, we keep looking for solutions in the wrong area. How many people are looking to the Father and returning to the Father? A handful. That's why he said it would be as it was in the days of Noah. How many people are going to get onto the ark? A handful. whatever shape the ark takes, how many people are actually going to leave this Babylonian world and enter the doors of the ark? Not too many. Just like the people around Noah and his family at that time, they loved Babylon. Just like Lot and his wife. His wife wanted to go back. She wanted to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because that's where the malls are. That's where all the wonderful cosmetic products are. That's where all the nice clothes and shoes and handbags are. That's where all the movie stars are and the celebrities. That's where all the Jew shekels are that they're going to hand out as long as you prostitute yourself. I want to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the average Israelite white person today. I don't want to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. Why would I want to do it? I don't want to leave Egypt. Pharaoh's got really nice looking baubles. He's got a 80-inch television that I can have. And he can put all kinds of nonsense on there. And I got all kinds of porn I can watch. And I got all kinds of this and that. Why would I want to come out of Babylon? We got earthquakes hitting California. I think you've probably already heard about that. Also, there was one near Costa Rica. I was talking to somebody that has relatives that live down there, and apparently the eastern part of Costa Rica, by the time it got there, it was 4 point something, but where it started, it was over 6. California was hit with a couple 6-point-plus earthquakes the other day, and a 7.1 or 2 was either yesterday or today. So California's getting hit pretty damn hard. Could that expand into other areas? Well, I've had friends tell me for years the fault lines, as they crisscross across America, they'll start in California and work their way east. Just something to keep an eye on. The Lion of the North, Michael Swede, is still putting out his BitChute sermons, and we want to give a shout-out to Michael, and may Yahweh bless his heart. He's a warrior over in the little country of Sweden, doing his best to awaken the white race, but I'm going to tell you, it's a thankless job. Thankless job. To the handful of people out there that support, you know, I'm not talking about you, obviously, and my heart goes out to you, and I thank you, but it's just a symptom of our people. It really is. There isn't a whole lot of thanks and or support that come from our people for the person that's trying to tell them the truth. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. And again, I want to remind everybody, this is an open mic session. If you want to call in or share something, please feel free to do it. It's your program, not just mine. I know people get tired of hearing me just blather on, and that's okay. But I want to hear from you folks as well. It's a team effort. It's a team effort. I've been blessed to been given a chance to set this up and use it, but again, as a member of a team, I'm not the one and only. Just as I walk with Father Yahweh and the Holy Spirit, it's a team effort. I do my best to follow the directions I'm given, but I'm human. I'm human. I'm like the rest of you. I say a lot of things, and people say, "Well, you're being awful condescending, and you're judging people." Well, no. I would be the last person on earth to do that intentionally, because trust me, I'm just like the rest of you. I stumble and fall. Sometimes I say the wrong things or do the wrong things or think the wrong things. I'm no different than anybody else. I had a very nice dialogue by email with John Kaminsky yesterday, and I was very pleasantly surprised that John took some constructive criticism that was sent to me, and I sent it on to him about one of his recent articles, and the fact that John does not seem to be aware of who's who in the Bible. And he comes across as being very anti-Christian. Well, it's like so many things. John is anti-mainstream Christianity. And, you know, maybe as a person he hasn't looked into who's who yet. But that doesn't mean John doesn't tell a whole ocean of truth in his articles, especially when he outs the Jew. But anyway, the main point was that we had dialogue as brothers, back and forth. He didn't diss me because I sent him some criticism, and I sent back compliments to him as well for his hard work. Again, because his walk in this world, he'll answer to the Father, not me, or you, or any of our listeners. He's going to answer to the King of Kings. The King of Kings is the only person worthy to pass judgment on another man. All I know is John has a good heart and he cares about the white race, the Adamic race. And he's sick and tired of us being put upon and stolen from and our institutions subverted, etc. And I honor him for that. He's trying to fight for the right things. His walk with the Father is between him and the Father. It's none of my business. None of my business at all. And for the people that want to criticize him for his stand, again, when you criticize him, tell me where he's wrong. Okay? Again, he stands very much against mainstream Christianity, and so do I. So should you. They don't teach the truth in church. I know people in Virginia that go to a Methodist church where the preacher is a retired Marine, a man, and his first sermon was to glorify the fact that the Methodist church was going to put a black woman as the bishop in charge of their area. What a cuck. This same church members support gay marriage. Okay? Why in the hell would you support that? Why would I have anything good to say about that form of Christianity? Members of that same church attended a gay wedding. Really? How does that work? How do you explain to the Messiah when you stand in front of him, or the great white throne judgment of Yahweh the Father, how do you explain to him your presence at that wedding? Would somebody want to call in here and explain it to me? I really would like to know how that works. You profess to believe in Yahweh. You profess to believe in the scriptures. And yet you have no problem attending a gay marriage. You have no problem with a gay in your family. You have no problem with a race traitor in your family. How does that work? I'm really curious, because in my way of thinking, it doesn't. So somebody set me straight, please. How the hell does that work? Especially when those very same people are going to bitch and moan when that gay couple end up in trouble, because invariably they will. There will be violence or there will be trouble at some point. Mental illness, you name it. Okay, same thing with the race traitors. Every race-mixed couple that I personally am aware of has ended in disaster. Every single one. And yet the families bitch and moan that their daughter married a black guy or whatever, and I ask them invariably, what did you do to stop it? Well, you can't stop it. I said, why not? What do you mean you can't stop it? Did you tell them that you didn't agree with it? Okay. I had an older gentleman, he was in his 50s at that time, tell me about his granddaughter being a half-breed and his daughter married a black guy and what all problems it was causing in his life. And same thing, I said, well, what did you do to stop it? I said, why are you babysitting this half-breed kid? Well, it's my daughter's child. I said, so what? Well, it's my granddaughter, I have to. I said, no, you don't. And I told him what I told my family. All six of my children got the very same speech. You bring somebody home as a date, and God forbid, as a potential spouse that's not white, then don't ever darken my doorstep again. Ever. Ever. Well, do you mean that? Yeah, I mean that. from the bottom of my heart, I'm telling you sincerely, if you do that, I don't ever want to hear from you or see you again as long as you live. Don't bother calling me. Don't send me letters. Don't send me cards. For God's sakes, don't ever come by my house and expect me to let you in the door. I don't want to see you. You don't exist as far as I'm concerned. That's how serious I take it. Now, do you think, just for a minute, that if parents, aunts and uncles and grandparents would tell their children what I told my children, that it might have an effect? Yeah, you'll still have some that'll go out there and do it because they're defiant. They'll do it because they just want to be defiant. But there's going to be a lot, like my children, that it clicked in their heads, and eventually they would call me every time they started dating somebody different to make sure I understood that they were white. And when they got married, they made sure that the spouse was white. So, praise Yahweh, okay? But here's the problem. I was raised by a family that believed in discipline. I saw it work because it worked with me. I'm glad my mother and father were very strict disciplinarians. So I saw it, and that discipline helped me through my entire adult life. It taught me good work ethics and how to treat people and how to be responsible and how to be the best man I could be. That's what that taught me. So I passed that on to my children. Do you think it might work as a society if we did the same thing? Why are we looking to other people to solve our problems? You can solve the problem by standing up and being a man. And tell your wives and children the way it is. There's no wiggle room there. There's no compromise there. Here's the rules. You break the rules and you're gone. Now, back in the day, you could take your children and actually have them punished up to and including death for doing such a thing. But those days are long gone. But what you can do is excommunicate them from your family, which is what I told them I would do. And the good news is they knew I meant it. So you see, that's the difference, because people will say, well, no, you have to worship your children. Really? Even though they're going to violate God's law, I'm going to worship my children? I think not. I think I'll stick to what the Bible says and what the Holy Spirit confirms, that Yahweh is to be number one, not your children, not your wives, not your friends, not your relatives. What is even the Christ himself said what? If you worship anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. Isn't that what he said? Look at this society we live in. We worship everything except him. Well, I love my grandkids. Well, sure. I love my grandkids too, as long as they behave themselves. But that first grandchild that brings home a brown, yellow, or black, same thing. I don't care if they live or die at that point. Don't care if they live or die. Would never help them, never talk to them, never assist them. I'm not even going to pray for them. That's the way it's supposed to be. Same thing with any relative, any friend, any business, any employer. If you're asking me to violate my father's law, well, then you don't exist as far as I'm concerned. And can you hurt me because of my stand? Yeah, you probably could. Could you make my life miserable? Yeah, maybe. Could you take away some of my material things? Yeah, probably could. Could you call me bad names? Yeah, probably that for sure. All right, does it matter? No. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And you could substitute words in there as well. Names and words will never hurt me. You can call me anything you want. I really don't even care. Truth is truth. Yahweh's Yahweh. His law is the law of the land. Period. If our people were to take that attitude, do you think it would make a difference in this world? Just asking. Do you think it might make a difference? I just watched a interview with Paul Craig Roberts on the Herland Report overseas. Very interesting. Paul Craig Roberts, of course, I was part of the Reagan administration, And I find him to be pretty much on target. Not completely, not 100%, but more on than off. I respect his opinions and the way he looks at things. He was an anti-globalist. And, of course, the Jews that surrounded Reagan and other areas of government tried to paint him as a against free trade. Well, see, that's the ad hominem attack of a Jew. That's how Jews operate. That's one way to tell that you're dealing with a Jew, is that he doesn't address the issues. He attacks the man, ad hominem. That's what the Latin means, ad hominem, towards the man. Okay? And the Caucasian guy says here, I'm also anti-globalist and pro-flat earth. And that's another thing. The propagandists have come out there, and just like with the word Adolf Hitler, as soon as you hear it, or the word National Socialist, etc., for Germany, you turn off, okay? That's a sign of conditioning and programming, all right? If you aren't willing to hear somebody out, and the same thing goes on the whole flat earth thing, people will sit there and they'll dis the flat earth and say, well, okay, you're like those people hundreds of years ago that if you go to the edge, you're going to fall off. That's not what flat earth is saying. That would be ludicrous, obviously. And I don't believe that our ancestors back in the Middle Ages believed that you would fall off the end either. I think that's a Jewish concoction to cause us not to look into the truth about NASA and space and in the shape of our world. All right, we're finding out they've lied to us about literally everything. Literally everything coming out of institutionalized education is a lie. Sorry, but it is. It's a lie. So the whole idea that we're on this blue marble spinning around in a complete vacuum in the middle of this immense vacuum with billions of other balls floating around, bouncing all over the place. You know, you can believe what you want to believe. Again, it doesn't matter to me. I really don't care. And that's the beauty of the people who are on the side of the shape of the earth being exactly what the Bible says. They will tolerate the globalists, the people that believe in the globe. All right? We tolerate that. If you want to believe that, that doesn't change my life in any way, shape, or form. Okay? This is a discussion between adults. We're allowed to discuss any issue. That's one of the traits of an Israelite. My brothers and sisters can bring any issue to me. I'm not going to condemn them for whatever their stand is. That's the proper attitude. I may disagree with them, but it doesn't matter. Some of these listeners here, I've known them for decades. Do we agree on everything? Not one single person that I know of agrees with me on everything. Not one single person. Do we agree on many things? Yes. But not everything. That's the whole point. You keep an open mind. Thessalonians told us that. Basically, accept all things and keep that which is good. What's good? What does it mean by keep that which is good? Good is what is verifiable by facts and or fits with Scripture, the Word and the Holy Spirit. Keep that which is good. As my father said, you can't argue with success. If I look at this world out here and believe that it's a stationary world that our father built with a firmament over it, exactly as the Bible says, and Wernher von Braun talked about on his tombstone with the quote from the book of Psalms, all right, or Proverbs. If I believe that, how does that hurt you? And I get comfort in knowing that this world is a very special place built by my Heavenly Father, and He put man, Adam kind, down here for a purpose. That fits really well with what I see and hear. The world around me, the empirical evidence around me, supports that much more than NASA the government liars and their purported version of what reality is. That doesn't make any sense at all. It really doesn't. Now, you can believe it if you want. I don't really care. I'm just saying, for me, with what I see and can sense and feel and ascertain by visual and rational thinking, okay, those things all fit with the model they call Flat Earth, which is basically the circular plane with the firmament above and the spaces below called Sheol, the pillars, and the fact that we aren't going to go anywhere off of this earth. You're not going to go anywhere, folks. This whole space program thing is BS as far as I'm concerned. It's all a diversion. It's all a cover for what they're going to do with all that money they stole out of your taxes, the black ops. What better way to hide it than in something you have no idea if it's real or not? You really don't. You really don't. It's all imaginary. It's all CGI or paintings or Hollywood productions, every bit of it. And yet they've got trillions of dollars they've taken of your money, and God only knows what they've done with it. What better scam could you possibly have? And all you have to do is get a relative handful of people to go along with the program, and you've got it made. Pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, what a scam. But here again, like I said, it's the principle that there is no topic that's beyond our discussing. None. None. And you're entitled to your point of view. As my brother or sister, you're entitled to that. Whether I agree with it or not, you're entitled to that. And you're entitled to tell me about it. And I'm not allowed to condescend you or argue with you or demean you simply because your point of view is different than mine. How is that an Israelite trait, these people that do that sort of thing, censor people or badmouth them or put knives in their backs or gossip about them simply because they have a different point of view? And circumcision is a perfect example of that. There are people out there telling folks that I'm crazy because I say circumcision is a form of child abuse and it is not scriptural at all. It's certainly not in line with it, all the scriptures that talk about how we're to treat the body. Okay? Now, again, if you want to go and mutilate your son, that's between you and Father Yahweh. But I have a right to tell you that I consider it child abuse and traumatizing a baby boy and mutilating his body. That's my point of view. Personally, it's Yahweh's point of view as well. And it fits with empirical data. And even now, scientific data. All right? But here again, don't tell me we don't have a right to talk about it. Don't tell me I have to go lockstep with these other Pharisees that think that it's okay. All right, now Caucasian guy says here, genital child mutilation should be made illegal, or at least the person must be 18 years old or older. Amen. Amen. That's right. If you think it's so good, then why don't you let your son be of age and let him make up his own mind if he thinks that's what he should do? At least give him a chance. It's his body. It's his body. Before you put him through the trauma, let him get through the childhood where he can bond with his mother and father and trust them and love them. How do you love somebody that traumatizes you? Okay, maybe on the surface you say you love them, but deep down, do you really? You're going to tell me that you're strapped to that board at 1, 2, 3 days old, and these strangers take instruments and cut your most private parts, and you don't think that at the psychic level, the subconscious level, you don't think that's affecting you? Are you honestly going to tell me that? So Caucasian guy here is dead on. For anybody below the age of 18, it's illegal. It's child abuse. It's mutilation. And by the time they're 18, they're probably going to do enough research and go, you know, I really like my body the way it is. I think you should leave it alone. The main thing is, like I said, we have a right to differ. We have a right to our own points of view. And you do not have a right to censor another Israelite simply because their point of view doesn't agree with yours, especially on items that are not directly tied to our relationship with our Father. And the good news is that most of the people in my circle are open-minded enough and free thinkers enough that that's the way they are. Because I have listeners that don't agree with me on circumcision, and that's fine. I have listeners who don't agree with me on the shape of the earth. That's fine, too. It's fine, too. In time, we're going to find out the truth because Yahweh told us that all things would be revealed that have been hidden from us. And that's happening at a rapid rate, just as the truth about the ancient kingdom of Tartaria is starting to surface greatly. And the Khazarian Empire that was left out of the history books in our schools, which is the nation that bred 90% or 95% of the people called Jews today, came from Khazaria. They didn't come from Palestine. They didn't come from biblical lands. They came from Khazaria. They were merchants. Let's see, who runs the world today? Merchants. Who's doing the weeping and wailing in Revelation as Babylon burns? Merchants and government officials. Isn't that special? It's not you and me, folks. We're going to be hosting champagne or beer and celebrating Babylon burning. It's the merchants and the government people that are going to burn. And do they need to burn? Absolutely. We don't need large central church. We don't need large central merchants. We don't need large central government. They are a bane to all that is civil on this earth. They are a bane to all that is right by the scriptures. That's pretty much everything I've got for today. I've already run on quite a bit, and nobody seems to want to call in, so I think I'm going to close it up there for today. I know everybody's busy, and you got a lot of things to do, and I do appreciate the fact you're able to stick with me this long. A lot of things going on, folks. All I can say is that you've got to keep a very clear head. Try not to be frustrated. Okay? Christ said, I'm telling you about the craziness at the end of the age. I'm telling you now that it's going to be crazy so that you don't be overcome by it when it happens. Well, we're there. We are in the position on the timeline exactly as Messiah was warning us about. You're there. In fact, that's why he even said, when it gets this crazy and nutty, look up, your redemption's near. My God, that redemption's got to be pretty damn close because I don't know how this world can get any sicker than it is. When you've got 11-year-old boys dressed in drag being touted on daytime television in America and people are cheering it on, that's child abuse. I'm sorry, but that's child abuse. Those parents should be on trial for child abuse. That boy should be taken aside by a family of loving, caring, believing people and treated as a small boy should be and not dressed in drag and touted by these Satanists that walk amongst us. I don't know that we can get much more evil. Washington, D.C. is literally a swamp from top to bottom. And I don't give a damn if it's got an R by the name or a D. They're all Bolsheviks. They're all antichrists. And I don't put any faith in any of them. Yahweh said he is going to get the credit for the changing of this world. He is going to get the credit for when Babylon burns. It's going to cause every knee to bow and worship him. How is Washington solving our problems going to make every knee bow to Yahweh? Somebody needs to explain that to me. How are a bunch of white hats in the military fixing our problems going to cause every knee to bow to Yahweh? Would you care to explain it to me? I have a really difficult time with that. Okay, and I don't mean to diss the people out there that got faith in those programs. Everybody wishes that there were some good people, because it seems like the good people are all sitting on their ass and not doing a damn thing. That's what it appears. So would it be nice to know that there's some, quote, white hats out there trying to make this a better world? Yeah, it would be wonderful. But I'm really having a tough time seeing it. And like I said, Jeffrey Epstein, once again, has been arrested for his despicable behavior. But that doesn't mean anything. Just because he's been arrested doesn't mean he's been tried and convicted and actually punished. Because Jeffrey Epstein, if found guilty by a tribunal of white men of faith, of good character, a tribunal of white men, if you can find any that fit that description, if they find him guilty of the crimes he's been accused of, he should be executed immediately. Now, I'll put some faith in that group. Because if they're operating under Yahweh's law, Yahweh gets the credit. In the name of Yahweh, Jeffrey Epstein, I find you guilty of child abuse and rape. In the name of Yahweh, Jeffrey Epstein, you shall hang by the neck till you are dead. You see how that works? Same thing with the rest of those people that are on that list of rapists and pedophiles. Okay, that's how you give Yahweh the credit. I'm bringing you before this tribunal in the name of Yahweh, and open up the Bible to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, as they used to do in the courts of America back in the colonial times. That's why you stand up when you enter a courtroom. You don't stand up to honor the judge. Who gives a shit about the judge? It's just a man. All he is a referee. The judge is nothing. It's the jury made up of believing men, white men of Yahweh. Those are the people who will find the person guilty or not guilty. Not that judge. That judge is nothing more than a referee. So you give Yahweh the glory, and you do it in the name of Yahweh when you bring in the scriptures and you open it up. And when that person is found guilty of rape, murder, treason, child abuse, kidnapping, you take them out into the courtyard and hang them by the neck till they are dead. Now Yahweh gets the credit. Because your land is going to be healed so fast it'll make your head spin. You sit here with all this treason and riots and massive immigration because you haven't put Yahweh first. You're not doing things according to his law. It's as simple as that. Start putting your faith into the judges that the ancient Israelites were ruled by for many, many, many years. Century upon century upon century. We didn't have the governments like we have today. We had righteous monarchs or judges. Sometimes both. But they operated under Yahweh's law. They did things in the name of Yahweh, which means under his authority. They didn't do it per some constitution or parliament or Congress and their idiocy. It's really quite simple, folks. And again, you know, the amazing thing is you implement Yahweh's law and your land will become a paradise almost overnight. You'll have clean water again, clean food. Your children can be raised as the parents see fit. They'll learn truth instead of lies and deception. The Bolsheviks will be all dead. The transgender and perverts will be executed. They'll either change their ways or be executed. The rapists will be executed. The kidnappers will be executed. The people harvesting organs from people will be executed. The slave traders will be executed. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Instead of seeing righteous people dying all the time or our soldiers dying in Jew wars overseas, wouldn't it be nice to see bad people dying for a change? I sure would like to see that. I'm tired of seeing good guys dying. I'd like to see some of the scum pay the price as General Patton said, make the other dumb bastard die for his cause. General Patton, I agree with you. I agree with you. We've had enough of our side die. Let's see some of those dumb bastards, these Bolsheviks and these Khazarians, let's see them die. Who's in favor of that? Let's see a show of hands. I sure as hell would like to see it. Okay, again, Wednesday night, we should be back on, Yahweh willing, of course. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We pray that your words would reach the ears that are meant to hear. We pray it would have an effect, that upon the hearing of it, it would become the doing of it. And it's in the doing, Father, that we give power to your name and to your authority and to your law. We are suffering now because of our lack of faith and our turning away from you, and for the fact that we won't implement your laws, whether it's in our homes or in our nation. We've become a people dispossessed by you and disenfranchised because of our sin and our lack of faith. You told us through the hymnist that we should trust and obey. Our problem is we give you lip service, but then we don't put it into action in our lives or in our countries. The white race is in peril today, Father, and we ask that you would wake up your sons and daughters, particularly your sons. The men need to know how to be men once again. They need to take a stand. They need to lead even when it's tough. They need to be firm in their convictions, even if it means that they will be called names and or put upon by our own people. Our allegiance is to you, Father Yahweh, and to you alone. Forgive us our sins and our stumblings, Father, and we ask that you'd give us clear discernment in this age of deception and lies. We also ask that you would put the spirit of courage in us and take away the spirit of fear. And we ask that you protect us from our multitude of enemies, and we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.